Welcome back to News Talk Tonight with Jim Richards on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
We're back here on the iHeart Talk Radio Network. This is a Monday night, and that means I just touched foot with our guest there.
Felt pretty good, though.
Fancy. Yeah, I know. Not here. This is our mental health segment, and we're happy to bring in Brendan Graziano, who I'm told before you went on to better and bigger things, used to work here at one point, I'm told. It's a bad way of me telling you that I don't remember working with
you. You know what? I've only had maybe a couple of crosses with you.
Yep.
You bought me beer once.
Oh.
Yeah, you don't even remember that, but you bought me beer once.
How many had I had by that point?
Not too sure.
Okay.
It was at the yacht club, though. We were very bougie.
A yacht club? What the hell were we doing at the yacht club?
Having a good time.
I don't think I've ever been. What yacht club?
I think it's called the Toronto Yacht Club, is it not?
Why? Was it a station thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Way back when.
Yeah, I don't remember. Oh, yeah, well, I guess I did remember, but I thought all the beer was free whenever it was a summer party.
It probably was.
Yeah, and I pretended that I bought it, and I gave it to you. Yeah, that sounds like a move that I would pull. Brendan Graziano is here. You've worked in radio out in the Kitchener-Waterloo area. You have been hosting, anchoring, and producing. Once upon a time, you worked here as a board op and also with our remote team. So it's interesting. We like to cover as much territory in this segment, mental health, as we possibly can. And we also like to kind of change it up and tell different stories. And I think we've been able to do that. But I don't think that we've ever talked to somebody who has been diagnosed with bipolar. Can you tell us what that means?
So bipolar, what it means is that it's almost like you have three phases, three moods, if you will. You have your level mood, just kind of like how I am right now.
Yep.
You have the depression aspect of it, which a lot of people have felt. But the other side of it is mania, where a lot of people feel manic. And manic is something that is... It's a strange feeling. I'll describe it a little bit more if you want.
I do want. I'm wondering if it's similar to having a panic attack.
No, it's not.
Okay.
So having
Have you had panic attacks before?
So yes.
What? I only ask because if you know both of them, clearly you'd be able to tell us what it feels like to be manic. So what does that feel like?
So manic is like this feeling of being immortal. Like, it is just this, I could do whatever I want, whenever I want, however I want, and I could do it in such a way where there's going to be zero repercussions at all. Being manic has brought me into certain situations. It's made me rethink certain situations as well. Manic is not necessarily the funnest feeling, and identifying mania is also a challenge in itself.
What's identifying mania?
So, think of you as having like the biggest high ever. You're just riding high. Everything's going your way. Everything's right. Nothing's wrong or anything like that. But it gets to a point where you think you could do anything. So I'll give you a time when I was on mania and what exactly happened. I was out in Edmonton. I produced the number one show in Alberta, and I was riding high. I had a great girlfriend at the time. Everything was hunky-dory. But I thought to myself, man, I really want to be a talk show host. I really want to be a talk show host. So I thought to myself, well, how could I do that? So I reached out to a few people, and somebody said, well, you should probably start a podcast and kind of, you know, shop it around to different markets and everything like that. And I did this all without telling my girlfriend at the time. And I ended up one day just saying to her, hey, I'm going to move to Saskatchewan. In a place, not even Regina or Saskatoon, a smaller market called Prince Albert, where, like the prison town there. And I said, yeah, I'm going. And she's like, where did this come from? And I'm like, no, I'm doing it. I'm going. I'm going to be a talk show host. This is going to be great because nobody's going to hire me in Edmonton as a talk show host. So I got to go to the smaller markets to make myself a little bit more marketable.
How old were you then at this point?
That would have been 2017.
Okay.
So I would have been 27 at the time. And I just got up, moved to Saskatchewan, small town, like, I think about 40,000 people maybe, and it deteriorated my relationship with my ex, as she is now my ex. We broke it off after I shortly moved out there. My career kind of went into the tank because...
Did you have a job or you were
I
just going?
I did have a job.
Oh,
no,
you had a job offer that you were going
Yeah, so the job offering was I would do a morning news anchor, then I would have a talk show from 9 to 10, and then I would also be the color commentator for the WHL, like the OHL affiliate kind of hockey team out west. And I thought I was doing all the right things. And the show got canceled. So I was just a morning news anchor in a market that was what I felt, I know it sounds awful for me to say, but what I felt was too small for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was bigger than that. Like, I knew that I could do major market radio, you know, the big cities and
stuff
like that.
That's a lot of people in this business, though.
Yes. Yeah, a lot of people go out there.
No, but that's a lot of people in this business thinking that they're better than they actually are. And if, I don't know, some people would say if you believe that long enough, you'll become good enough and you'll get hired.
Sure,
So what's the difference in you having overconfidence and what you're trying to explain to us?
As mania?
Yeah.
So mania... I was not thinking straight.
Okay.
Another experience I could tell you about mania was that I had, I worked my morning shift in Kitchener. So I worked from 4 a.m. To noon.
Mm-hmm.
And I had friends over and I stayed up until about 4 o'clock in the morning cleaning. Like after they left, I just cleaned. And then I went to bed for 2 hours, woke up at six and just... And this is after a morning show, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started cleaning again. So cleaning is like a weird aspect of mania. It's just you think you can get like things done. And it's almost like the go-to feeling of needing to get things done right now because I'm in the mood to do it.
Yeah.
And so it was just this weird thing that I would do. And I would stay up. I think I stayed up all weekend to the point where I said to myself, I think I need to be hospitalized because I've been manic for way more than a day. I've been manic for about 3 days now.
Wow.
Check myself into Grand River Hospital in Kitchener. And they have a great program there. Probably the best experience that I've had at a hospital, actually, in Ontario.
Why? How is it usually treated?
Unfortunately, it's mental health, right? You're waiting there for hours to see the psychiatrist, or you're waiting there for, you know, an unusual amount of time just to see somebody.
Okay, so what did they do differently that you say it was your best experience?
So what they did differently was that they said, "Look, we've taken your lithium level because this is the medications that I take. They've taken your lithium level. Look, there seems to be certain things that are off right now. I think that what we need to do is we need to up your dosage by this much and also prescribe you this medication too that works." And sure enough, that cocktail of medication has been the best medication that I've had in all of my life. And I feel like I feel good right now. I don't feel like great, but I feel good. There were some side effects to it. I mean, I was a good like 170, had a six pack. I was great. I was good looking and everything like that. And then I gained 62 pounds because of the medication, which sucked. But
is that what you have carrying right now? 62 pounds?
Extra. Yeah, extra.
You don't look that big to me.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I'm pretty big too, though. let's continue this. Well, no, I do have more time before we have to take a break here. So when were you first diagnosed with this?
So the first time that I was diagnosed was, we're talking about maybe 2006, 2007.
Yeah.
I had some suicidal ideation and there was from some circumstance that happened way back when. And I... went to the psychiatrist, went to a hospital. I think I was at North York General. And they said, okay, like, look, this is what happened. And they said, look, we think that you have bipolar disorder. And back then, 2006, 2007, having a diagnosis of that was just kind of like, oh, let's sweep it under the rug. It's okay. It's not a big deal. He's probably just depressed. Not a big deal. Let's just chalk it up to having a bad day. And that's all it was. And we left it. And then for the next 13 years... It got worse. We just kind of chalked it up to maybe he's just depressed. Mm-hmm. So I was in and out of hospitals. I was constantly on antidepressant medication, which didn't help because that doesn't help bipolar disorder. Mood stabilizers help bipolar disorder, or even antipsychotics, not antidepressants.
Mm.
Some of them do, but not all of them do at this point. But yeah, so it was just getting constantly medicated for things that weren't supposed to be there. And I felt to myself, well, you know what, this is... This progressively got worse. So, yeah, first time 2006, 2007, then I got
Okay, let's pick up on that
sure.
in a second.
Let's do it.
Let's take a break. We'll come back with Brandon Graziano. It's Mental Health. We're talking to Brandon about his diagnosis of being bipolar. Any questions you might have? 7-10-10. I'm Jim Richards. This is News Talk Tonight.
That was great.
Welcome back to News Talk Tonight with Jim Richards on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Slow News Day happens in an hour, and don't forget we're going to get a round table together in about a half an hour to talk about some of the big news stories of the day here on the iHeart Talk Radio Network, where you can download and enjoy or not enjoy this podcast wherever you are, whenever you are. Just follow and subscribe. Find News Talk Tonight, follow and subscribe. So Brandon Graziano is with us as well. You were talking about being diagnosed at first and then kind of like not even paying attention to it, because I don't know if you thought you could walk it off, or like sometimes like, oh, if I've been depressed and I'm doing some different things, like I haven't had an issue in a real long time, just because I know like there's certain things that I have to do. I have to be grateful. I meditate a lot and all of that kind of stuff. And I kind of like have to check my thoughts at the door. Like, am I kind of catastrophizing right now, or are these things that are real in my life? And they're like, and they're like, okay, they're not real. I'm catastrophizing. Everything's okay. So why did you, at what point did you realize that, okay, you can't kind of just walk this off and not pay attention to it?
I think, and by the way, I did a lot of journaling myself. That like helped immensely during the times that I was at my lowest and all my lows there. When I thought to myself that I couldn't just walk this off and I just had to actually follow through with it, was that I ended up dating this woman. And we broke it off, but I was unusually upset about it. And my doctor said, this is not natural. Like, it isn't. Like, what you feel right now for somebody is not natural. So she referred me to a psychiatrist, and that psychiatrist ended up diagnosing me with bipolar disorder. And now bipolar disorder in 2019, which when I was diagnosed again, was a little bit more taken seriously.
Yep.
And that it got to a point where, like, look, okay, antidepressants aren't the answer. As I was saying before, you got to go on mood stabilizers and antipsychotics. And this is probably the direction that you should be taking. And I eventually got better.
Yeah.
So it got to a point. I mean, like my bipolar disorder affected my broadcasting career a little bit. And I'm not going to say it led to me, not being in the industry anymore. But
yeah.
I mean, it's definitely a factor as to why I'm not in the industry anymore. And I thought to myself,
because of the stress, because of the pressure, because like everybody's always constantly worried about ratings, and like you get one hate mail, like you'll get 1,000 like, hey, we love you emails, and then one hate email, and you'll obsess on that and all that kind of stuff. Because everybody, as you know, is like that, right?
100%, 100%. That you don't take the compliments all that well. Like, I could say, like, Jimmy, doing a great job.
I would tell you I'm not. I would tell you I'm not, and then I would wonder if it's Tony or Anthony, and then it would come back to me, and I would be like, no, I can't blame anybody else but me. But yeah, that's
it's hard to accept a compliment, especially when you're feeling like that particular way. You know, it's hard
sure.
to make sure that you know you're not getting the accreditation that you should.
It's funny, like so many people say, oh, I've been through so many tough times, and I turn on your show, and you make me laugh, and blah blah blah. And I don't know why. I don't really appreciate that and like take it as a meaningful, like, really, really, that's the best compliment you could have.
You know,
I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's nice. What's it doing for me right now?
So one thing that I was told that I should be doing by a therapist and stuff like that is that you, in your happiest times, take a picture or document it.
Yeah.
And then when you're feeling low, go back to that time and be like, you know what? I know what it meant to be happy. I know what it was like to be happy. I know what I could do to get happy, because I was happy at this particular time.
Yeah, I used to video. Well, I still do. I'll do video journaling. I do a lot of video journaling. I have video journalists from the last like year and a half of me talking into the, and I can go back and go, when was I feeling like that? Let's look at a video from that day and what I was talking about. And I look at that guy and I go, oh, that guy is either a mess, or that guy doesn't know what he's talking about, or hey, that guy was in the zone that day and he was feeling pretty good. But enough about me, more about Brendan Graziano before I get this email. Hey, Jim, why did you have that guy on if you only talked about yourself? So at your worst, when you were spiraling, what did that look like?
It looked like me going to Saskatchewan and and breaking it off. I had a great situation in Edmonton. There was no reason for me to go to Saskatchewan. I could have, you know, I'm not going to say I could have made it in Edmonton, but I wanted to, you know, explore a little bit more.
Sure.
And I probably shouldn't have done that. And it led me to where I am today.
And so where you are today is a man. What are you doing now? Because we were talking off the air about I guess you're somebody who's very grateful for the help that you've received, and now kind of in the shoes that you're in and having led the life that you have lived, you want to kind of like see yourself and some of the people who've helped you and be able to do the same thing?
So when I was in your shoes, yeah. I had also mental health segments and such, and I thought to myself, this is great to get the message out there, and it's a really good thing. But now that I'm not in your shoes anymore, and I'm not in the talk show host position as I was before, how could I help people in such a way? So I'm at Guelph Humber. I take community social services, which is basically a fancy word of saying social work.
Yep.
It's just I got an applied science degree as opposed to a BSW.
Yep.
And I'm just trekking through that right now. I got 3 years left, and I'm looking to help people out in that capacity.
Were you ever embarrassed to talk about this? Because you seem very open and willing to kind of talk about your ups and downs.
100%. I was ashamed of it at one point. And you hear about these mental health initiatives all the time, these men's mental health initiatives saying, mm-hmm. like, you know, we should be talking about this, that, and everything. And I thought to myself, no, that's not me. That's not me. Like, there are particular instances throughout the year where there's mental health initiatives being broadcast throughout. And I thought to myself, no, that's not me. And I never did until one day when I was in Kitchener, I just kind of said to myself, I ended up interviewing somebody who had bipolar disorder. And he turned his bipolar disorder into like an organization that sells apparel, and percentages of the apparel sold goes towards men's mental health initiatives. And I was talking to him, and he says, you should tell your story. You should tell your story. I'm like, I'm not going to tell my story. But I'm like, you know what? I'll think about it. I gave it the weekend. On the Monday, I ended up telling my story, and I got a lot of good feedback.
What kind of feedback did you get?
You know what? I mean, it was all over the place. I mean, much like what you would get in talk radio. You know, some of it's like, yeah, it was
sure.
great.
Yeah.
And then other things like, oh, you shouldn't have said anything like that. But for the most part, it was all positive, and I couldn't say anything bad about it.
Yeah, and you can't really put any weight into those people who might have had bad things to say. I remember I cried on the air one time like a baby that I am about a breakup. And
I remember that.
All of the people.
You know that?
I did. Pardon me?
I said I remember that.
No, a lot of people do. They'll remind me of it all the time. I'm reminding myself right now. But what was funny was either like it made Huffington Post, and people wrote all these articles on it. It was just funny reading people who was like, oh, I listened to that guy one time and he was rude to a caller, he's an a-hole. And I was like, okay, that's what people from the peanut gallery have to say. So what you're looking to help people, but you're also looking to specialize in perhaps people who have lived in the same shoes as you.
So I'm thinking to myself, look, and you could probably agree with me here, everybody in media is practically depressed. It is not a secret. A lot of people in this industry are not very happy mm-hmm. with each other and with everything that's yeah. happening. So I thought to myself, when I, you know, get my master's and do everything that I need to do to get there, I will open up a practice dedicated towards people in media so that they can have somebody to talk to who's also been through that particular
sure.
situation.
Yeah.
So that's the end goal. In the meantime, I'm just going to ride the waves.
All right. Well, it's nice meeting you, and thank you very much for being open about being bipolar. Brendan Graziano, look forward to what the future holds for you. Thanks for coming in.
No problem.
I'm Jim Richards. Get a rundown together in about 20 minutes' time, and Slow News Day is on the way as well. Don't forget to find this podcast wherever you find podcasts. Follow and subscribe.